Good afternoon. My presentation is on an assessment of Army MOVE provider experiences. This presentation, or this work, was actually conducted while I was a program evaluator at Aberdeen Proving Ground, the Army Institute of Public Health. I'm actually currently at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. But I would like to acknowledge my former colleague, Dr. Teresa Jackson, who's in the audience, and who's also available for additional questions following the presentation. I would also like to acknowledge Lieutenant Colonel Sandra Keeland, both of them, for their assistance with completing this evaluation. I have no relationships to disclose. So the purpose of this presentation is to provide a summary of the results from the face-to-face Army MOVE facilitator's assessment and the recommendations that were used to inform the revised program development. The presentation will follow the following outline. From 1995 to 2005, the prevalence of overweight among the Department of Defense military personnel increased from 51% to 61%, with 12% of personnel identifying as obese. Army Regulation 600-9 establishes the policies and procedures for the implementation of the Army Weight Control Program. The primary objectives of the Army Weight Control Program is to ensure that all personnel are able to meet the physical demands of their duties under combat conditions and also to maintain a trim military appearance at all times. It is estimated that 11 to 28% of soldiers are eligible for the Army Weight Control Program. So Army MOVE was established in accordance to AR 600-9 and was adopted from the Veteran Affairs MOVE program, which is an evidence-based, multi-tiered, and multidisciplinary individualized weight management program. It launched Army-wide in 2010 and replaced Weight to Stay as the Army standardized program. It is offered online and in person at medical treatment facilities. It is available to both soldiers on the Army Weight Control Program and also soldiers who are referred by physicians, or self-referred soldiers. Program components were identical to the VA MOVE model, so it was multidisciplinary. It was multi-tiered, so it included group support, individual one-on-one counseling, and also a self-maintenance component. A MOVE 23 questionnaire, which is a preliminary survey that gauges the soldier's readiness for change and also used to tailor the program to their needs. Also consists of 12 modules, which are delivered in group sessions that focus on behavior modification, nutrition, and physical activity. But since the program's deployment in 2010, there was limited oversight of program delivery and also no evaluations that measured program effectiveness. An evaluability assessment revealed that examining the program's processes and delivery was the most appropriate evaluation for its state's implementation. So in 2011, the Army Institute of Public Health conducted the evaluation of Army MOVE, and again, the purpose of the evaluation was to assess the experiences of the facilitators while delivering the program. That included any setbacks, any successes, the current structure for delivering the program, and also any recommendations they had to inform the development of the revised Army's weight management program. So we had 5 evaluation questions. Is Army MOVE reaching its target population? Is the current delivery of Army MOVE effective in equipping participants with the knowledge, skills, and support necessary to achieve weight loss? Is there organizational support to deliver Army MOVE? Is Army MOVE delivered properly? And finally, is Army MOVE sustainable for long-term delivery, and is it able to demonstrate its impact among participants? For this evaluation, we used the RE-AIM framework, which is also used to evaluate the Veterans Affairs MOVE program. The RE-AIM framework is used to measure the extent to which research is translated into practice. It's also used widely to measure the generalizability and practicality of obesity interventions. So it consists of 5 measurable elements. Reach, effectiveness, adoption, implementation, and maintenance. And I can say that maintenance is measured on the individual level. On the individual level, it measures the extent to which the individual participants maintain the behavior change over time. And then it's also measured on the setting level, which measures the program's ability to sustain, well, the organization's ability to sustain delivery of the program. Our sample included current dietitians across medical treatment facilities and nutrition clinics. Our final sample included 31 facilitators from 29 sites, so we had a 76% response rate. For this study, we developed a 38-question survey using the REAIN framework, and it was delivered electronically to 38 sites. We used descriptive and bivariate analyses. Correlations in t-tests were a p of less than 0.05 denoted a statistically significant relationship. The results are divided by each of the REAIN constructs. So first is REACH. We found that Army MOVE reaches a large target of its population due to the Army Weight Control Program and also referrals from physicians. Most facilitators reported that 80% of their flagged soldiers completed the first session, and you can see this in the chart. But however, less than half of those facilitators reported having an 80% completion rate for the remaining sessions. So as you can see, there is a high level of attrition. Also important to note that 18% of facilitators did not know how many of their participants completed the program. So this suggests a need to develop better mechanisms to retain soldiers. Is the current delivery of Army MOVE effective in equipping participants with the knowledge, skills, and support necessary to achieve weight loss? We found that the majority of facilitators believe that the program was successful in equipping participants with the necessary skills for weight loss, and also believe that the program was beneficial. However, less than half believed that the current program was meeting participant needs, and one-third reported being unsure if the current program was meeting participants' needs. For adoption, two-thirds of facilitators feel that they do not have adequate staffing to deliver Army MOVE, although 70% believe that they had support by leadership. We found that the perception of adequate staffing was directly related to the number of modules offered. So as facilitators perceived to have adequate staffing, they were more likely to offer more of the 12 modules. And on the opposite end, if they perceived that they did not have adequate staffing, they were less likely to offer modules. When asked on the survey, 26 of 27 respondents felt that training on actually how to deliver Army MOVE would be beneficial. Even though on average facilitators felt well prepared to deliver the program, they would benefit from training on program delivery and revised implementation materials. Training should highlight techniques for providing facilitated group support at those facilitators who had that training felt best prepared to deliver the program. Training should also focus on guiding participants in behavior modification. Across the enterprise, Army MOVE is implemented inconsistently and not to program fidelity. The most significant changes to the program occurred in the delivery of the group sessions. We found that most often facilitators delivered only 3 group sessions, and that's 3 out of 12, and they usually combine the original 12 modules in order to reduce the number of sessions that they were offering. In addition, 70% of facilitators reported having all 3 elements of Army MOVE's 3-tiered approach, and again, that's the group sessions, so one-on-one sessions with the facilitator and also self-management. Only one-third of facilitators reported using the MOVE 23 questionnaire. So this pie chart shows that when asked about collecting metrics, 56% reported collecting metrics during each group session, while 11% reported not collecting any metrics at all, and 15% reported collecting metrics only during the first session only. We also found that, well, first, facilitators used a Likert scale and they measured the usefulness of each module. Then we further asked them to indicate whether they delivered the modules independently, combine the module with another module, or if they did not offer that module in any capacity. So as one would expect, generally, there was a trend in the perceived usefulness of the modules and the capacity in which the modules were delivered. So as they perceived a module to be more useful, they were more likely to offer that module in some capacity, whether that was independently or offering it in combination with another module. However, there were several modules that had a relatively high usefulness score. So on our scale of 1 to 5, they had about a 3.2. And those that fell into that group, there were several that still weren't being offered in any capacity. So that suggested another barrier to delivering those modules. We found that these modules were behavioral modification modules, and also that they were located at the end of the program. And for maintenance, so again, no sites are delivering Army MOVE at its currently intended according to the implementation guide. Thus, sustainability is highly unlikely without significant modifications and efforts to standardize. There is no system to monitor program effectiveness over time. The lack of standardized processes for maintenance at the individual level further limits the sustainability of the program over time by limiting its ability to track program effectiveness. The results of this assessment, along with program evaluations of the VA MOVE, national guidelines developed by the DOD, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force for the Treatment of Overweight and Obesity, were all considered in creating 7 key recommendations for the revised standardized Army Weight Management Program. The first recommendation is to provide mandatory and ongoing training for all Army MOVE facilitators prior to program delivery and supplemental ongoing training once they are delivering the program. So again, we had 26 of 27 facilitators saying that they would benefit from additional training on how to actually deliver the program. We also found that online materials, which are used for training, on average were considered somewhat useful, with 22% of respondents saying that the materials were somewhat unhelpful. Increase soldier participation through multiple mechanisms. One of our proposed mechanisms was to assign Army MOVE as the place of duty when necessary. We found that both among soldiers and facilitators that responsibilities and taking time off from those responsibilities was a huge barrier to implementing the program properly and also for finishing the program. Revise the program to include a reduction in the number of modules, the inclusion of individual follow-up appointments, and also a maintenance component. So 12 modules was really beyond the capacity of facilitators and was not very feasible for soldiers considering their schedules. But we wanted to stay within the evidence-based practices for a successful overweight and obesity program, which means that it should be high intensity. So the specific recommendations were to reduce 12 to 8 sessions, 6 of which are required in month 1 and 2, followed by 2 individual appointments in month 3, and then maintenance appointments at 6 and 12 months in order to measure effectiveness over time. Increase the use of the MOVE 23 questionnaire because this survey is necessary to individualize the program for soldiers' needs. Providing a standard curriculum and tools. Centralizing collection of surveys and other metrics to increase accountability and to ensure consistency in data collection. And finally, determining the staffing needs at all the sites and increasing staffing when necessary. The study had several limitations. First, we were not able to determine the size of the installation or the facility where Army MOVE was being delivered. And also, we didn't collect information on the number of Army MOVE facilitators at each facility. Going into the study, we believed that there was one instructor per facility, but we found that after we didn't make the survey and collected it, that there were some sites that had multiple facilitators. We had limited relationships and correlations in our analyses. Soldiers were not directly surveyed, so all the information about the biggest complaints and the barriers for the program were all based on the perceptions of the facilitators. And we also had within-site variability. We had one site that had 3 instructors who all turned in a survey, but we decided to include them because they were all very different. So again, it shows that there was a lot of variability and differences in delivery, even within one site. In this evaluation, we learned, first, that one size does not fit all. Programs should fit the needs and the capabilities of the stakeholders and also their participants. In addition, it is important to establish the core components for program and the areas of flexibility. This allows for program adaptation versus a breach in program fidelity. We also learned that buy-in from stakeholders, and in our case, it was the Army Move facilitators, is greatly increased when orders come from the top down. We believe that this attributed to our 76% response rate. And finally, measuring program implementation is just as important as measuring program effectiveness and can provide insight into why a program is not expecting or not yielding expected results. So those barriers and those facilitators to adoption and to implementation provided vital information that was used to revise the program. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ayana Robinson. It is a very interesting presentation. I would like to thank all the presenters for presenting their work. We have few minutes for questions and answers, so the session is now open for discussion. If you have any questions for any of the speakers, please introduce yourself and ask your questions. Yes. Excuse me, can you please introduce yourself and ask the question? Any more questions? I have just one question for Ms. Ayana Robinson. You have presented very interesting data, but your study, is it approved by IRB? Is in Army? Do they have to take approval from IRB? Could you respond? Thank you. Because a lot of people wondering in case of Army. Okay. All right. Any more questions, please? If you have any more, please. Okay. I would like to thank all the presenters and the audience for participating in the session. This concludes our session today.